This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's April 16th, episode 893, brought to you today by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. Downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber jabber.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is it. We are down to the top 12 that are going to the live shows next Monday. Are you guys as excited as I am? Hello?
No idea what you're even talking about.
I'm talking about The Voice, baby. The live shows are starting next Monday. How excited are you?
I'm just thrilled.
I didn't think you'd have any idea what I was talking about. Hello. Could Adam Levine be any hotter? Jeez. Oh, he's worth watching right there. That's worth watching the show.
The only reason you watch the show? No, you actually like that show.
I love that show. And you know what? You know how, like, I told you, I used to have to watch Dancing with the Stars because it was the only way that I could have a conversation with my mother was watching Dancing with the Stars. And because that's what she watched and that's what she wants to talk about. So I started watching, and I watched a couple seasons, and then The Voice kind of took over. And so I started watching The Voice, and my mom got so bummed that we had nothing to talk about anymore. She's in. She's now watching The Voice, too. Booyah! I win!
Hey, on a different topic, you know what I just noticed? We're at 893, episode 893. We're going to be doing episode 900 next Friday together.
Oh, how fun! We're in Rolex in Kentucky.
Yeah.
That's so exciting. I want to let you know that there's not many things that would make me miss the party of the century, which is going on here in Arizona on Saturday night. It's one of my good friend's 30th birthdays. Yes, she's younger than me. Hate her. And she's having a huge party, and it's totally 80s. You're supposed to dress like an 80s TV character. Like, I would not totally dress like Punky Brewster. I'm missing getting the chance to dress like Punky Brewster, who I dressed like when I was a kid anyway, to go to Rolex. Just so you know, it's that important to me. And now it's 900 episodes, so it solidified my decision.
There you go. Yeah, it should be fun. I'm looking forward to that. I just realized that, though, when you read 893, I went, wait a minute. That'll be 900 when we get together.
That's cool.
How cool. That is very cool.
Well, let's get on with the show. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Back on Track Crappy List Wednesday edition, Glenn gives a history lesson, Jamie investigates the alarming attrition rate among Rolex entrants, a crappy list makes an appearance, and Elisa Wallace joins us for celebrity trivia. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Daily Winnie time. And this goes out a day early to Dominique Ferrero of Norco, California, also known as the Zebras R Us girl. We met her when we were out at Norco a couple of years ago and have kept in touch. She's been on the show a number of times. So happy birthday a day early, Dominique. We hope you do, you and your little baby zebras. She's been posting pictures of baby zebras that she has. Oh, how cute are they? They are really
adorable.
Cute.
Adorable. Okay, I'm going to start out with some bad news, but then I'm going to end up with some good news. The bad news is that since 1970, over 90% of the world's rhinoceroses have vanished because of poaching. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is, check this out. South Africa's war on rhino poachers has now been given a boost because of why? They are now using off-the-track thoroughbreds to deter poaching. And how they do that is they've been riding these OTTBs around in the jungle, in the Kruger National Park, which is like one of the largest game reserves in Africa, which is where all the poachers are going to kill these rhinos for their horns. No rhino has been poached since the thoroughbreds have been in the area. Okay, not one. 950 rhinos were poached last year, and the rangers weren't sure how the horses would work out. They're in a new environment around animals they've never seen. However, they say they have performed remarkably well and continue to stave off would-be poachers. And some of the reasons
I'm confused. Are the horses being ridden by the rangers, or are they just turning the horses out?
No, they're being ridden by the rangers, and the rangers have guns. The rangers have guns. I was getting to that.
I was going, why don't they just shoot the horses?
Yeah, no, there's a reason, and it's because they're saying that there's a height advantage. Instead of the rangers walking around themselves, obviously, they have a height advantage for seeing. More terrain can be covered on horseback before getting tired. Horses can go where vehicles cannot. They're silent compared to the vehicles, and it's given the X-race horses a new job. So kudos to the Kruger National Park for using off-the-track thoroughbreds. There's a woman behind the whole kind of idea, and that it's working, and rhinos are being saved, and off-the-track thoroughbreds have jobs. It's just like the perfect marriage in South Africa. So that's my daily winning. I'm so proud of all of the people involved. So cool. So cool.
Very neat, yeah.
Right?
And they're fast.
Yes, they're fast and they're fit. And so these, you know, you just have to make sure the rangers know how to ride, because I would imagine, okay, like I'm trying to imagine Jet out in the Kruger National Park African wilderness and a freaking rhino walks up. Hello, my buddy.
Or a tiger or a lion.
Anything. Any sort of wild animal.
A warthog.
Chipmunks, oh my God, yeah, they'd have to be toast. But I guess these guys are working out a lot better. So I'm going to continue to follow that story, and I'll keep you guys up to date.
You know,
it was just something I saw.
You know how they desensitize horses, you know, with plastic bags and stuff they take, and tarps, they take and rub them all over their body. How do you desensitize your horse to a lion?
I don't have any idea.
Take and rub it all over your body?
I can't even get mine desensitized to plastic bags. So having a lion or rhino I can't even imagine. Well, but really, really cool. Kudos to Kruger National Park. Now, Glenn, I really appreciate you sending me an email yesterday, saying that that I'm welcome to talk about this, because something happened to kind of one of my heroes / idols in Atlanta radio. A man by the name of Captain Herb Emery, who was a traffic reporter in Atlanta since the 70s, recently passed away. Here's a little bit of a background on Captain Herb, and then we'll talk a little bit about why he meant so much to me. But here's from the AJC.com.
Captain Herb came to Atlanta in 1971. He is one of those people who always knew what he wanted to do, obtaining a third-class FCC license while in high school. Millions of you have turned to him to get around in the mornings and afternoons, and it was his delivery, attitude, and that special voice that truly made him the best.
Already jammed up on the outer loop of the perimeter.
It's a voice you've probably heard nearly every day. WSB Radio wasn't Captain Herb's first stop in Atlanta radio. His first big break came as an intern for WIIN 97, That's when he started gathering traffic and weather information for reports on the Skinny Bobby Harper Morning Show. His other stops included radio stations in Cumming, Douglasville, Marietta, and Austell. Then he landed at News Talk 750 WSB. He probably knows the highways better than anyone in Metro Atlanta and told us one time that he's seen it all.
I've seen anything from refrigerators to washing machines to any kind of furniture that's sitting in your living room right now.
In fact, Captain Herb had a run-in one time with a mattress on the highway.
It threw the mattress up from under the tractor trailer and it landed on my windshield. It broke my windshield. I couldn't see.
Captain Herb earned at least 15 first-place awards for news and traffic reports from the Georgia Associated Press Association. He also served as its president in 1990 and 91. Twice a day, Captain Herb Emery boarded a helicopter to help you navigate the roads below. When you heard his voice on the radio, you would turn the volume up because he could just save you minutes, possibly hours of your life, by avoiding gridlocks on the interstates. It's what he did every day for at least 6 hours.
Good morning, coming in from the south side of town, I-75.
In 2008, he was inducted into the Georgia Radio Hall of Fame. Captain Herb also gave back, from Toys for Tots to Clark's Christmas Kids. He was always there, a man with a big heart and a trusting, unforgettable voice.
He was so good. Every year I work.
Ah, that's tough to listen to because not only did he do a lot for Toys for Tots, he also was a very big advocate for the Douglas County Animal Shelter. And so what happened was Captain Herb this week was doing some yard work, I believe on Sunday. He and his wife were outside doing yard work. And he heard a an accident, like a really bad accident. And so he ran out the road and started running towards calling 911, dialing. It was an overturned vehicle crash. Well, as he got to the scene, he actually started having chest pain and collapsed and actually then later died at the hospital. And Captain Herb was a, you know, he was a remarkable man. I you know, I started my radio career as an intern like he did, but then went to traffic. And I reported traffic in Atlanta alongside Captain Herb for over 10 years. And I remember the first day I went to fly in the helicopter. I didn't do a helicopter twice a day like he did. But Captain Herb, I was sitting in the back of the helicopter and we actually went to pick him up because when you're a legend like that, you don't commute to work. We actually went to his area of town, dropped down, picked him up, and he got into the helicopter. And I was so nervous. I mean, I'm nervous, number one, because I'm flying in a helicopter over the streets of Atlanta reporting traffic. Number two, I'm about to meet a legend among legends. Like, I would listen to him and, like, repeat what he would say and emulate what he would say and try to be like him and try to give the news the traffic like he did. And he climbed up in a helicopter, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's Captain Herb, it's Captain Herb. I was like a traffic junkie. I mean, I still am. And he had actually gone to a store and bought milkshakes for he and I, like just to kind of, it was hot. He reached back and he hands me a milkshake. I didn't even know he knew who I was. And he's like, hey, Jamie, here you go. And we had sat up there and flew around. And the couple times I got a little nervous, he made sure the chopper was a little more comfortable for me. And just an awesome guy. And every time I met him or spent time with him, you just left in a better mood. And it's almost like I would be around him and I would leave. But there's no way that guy can be that nice in real life. Like, he's so incredibly kind and so nice. And his wife, Karen, was just amazing. They actually were huge NASCAR fans. And he and his wife did a NASCAR radio show together on Sundays after NASCAR races. And he was always the one who was commentating the air shows, like when WSB would do the traffic reports because the air show in Atlanta was such a big deal. And, you know, you just heard him in every aspect of your life. And to hear his voice like that was really, really neat because he was just such a great guy. And it really has bothered me since his passing. And he's just in the Atlanta institution, and they're talking about naming a bridge after him, a new bridge that's going over one of the freeways. And I just think that would be a really fitting tribute. And I actually posted a cartoon somebody drew, and it's a picture of Captain Herb sitting on a cloud looking down at Atlanta traffic and saying he loves this viewpoint. It's just I appreciate you letting me talk about it, Glenn, because he's just an amazing dude, and I feel proud to have known him and proud of him, and it just makes me very, very sad that he's gone.
Well, Jamie, you know, when you posted that, I know, you know, a lot of people, new listeners, don't realize how long you worked. You know, I didn't realize you worked in traffic the whole time. Were you traffic the whole time in Atlanta when you were on radio?
Up until my last job, I did traffic. I started in traffic in 2001, and I did it for 10 years.
Wow. And did you do the helicopter thing a lot, or was that an occasional thing?
The first time I did it, it was because I had started working for one of the big radio stations. I did sports talk. I was Jamie Steele in sports talk radio as the traffic. I was like the little, you know, kitten of traffic reporter when I was like 22, even 21. And then from there, I got hired to the big station. And so the big station wanted me to go in the chopper and see what it was like and kind of get an overview. And that was when I first met the captain. And then throughout that time, anytime there was a big event, like the Peachtree Road Race or any holiday that, like Christmas traffic, I would get to go in the helicopter with Captain Herb. And it wasn't like I had to. It was like I wanted to. I'm like, can I go in the chopper today? Yes. Awesome. You know, and so to be involved in that, I would say it wasn't every day, and nor could I have done that every day. Oh, my gosh, that's exhausting. Not only did Captain Herb do a chopper twice a day, he did the traffic twice a day. I did the split shift, was what that's called. So basically you work 5 to 9 and 3 to 7. So you go to work twice a day every day. And I did that probably 6 out of the 10 years I did traffic. And, I mean, the health problems that I had from it, just from not sleeping normally, was hard enough. I can't imagine him doing it for that many years that he did.
I do have a question or two about it. He actually flew the helicopter, too. He was a pilot, right?
No, he did not.
Okay.
And I thought that, too, because they call him Captain, but I think that was just kind of a radio moniker, I guess. But he would the way that you fly a traffic helicopter, Glenn, is bizarre. Okay, because the pilot is on, say, the right side. I think it was on the right side. And then Captain Herb was in the front on the left, and I was in the back. And they fly tilted. So the pilot is actually up higher, so Captain Herb could look down. So basically you're leaning to the left the whole time you're flying, so he had a good vantage point, and that's how the helicopter flies. I can't imagine being the pilot and flying that, because you're crooked the whole time. I can't imagine doing that twice a day. Oh, my gosh, exhausting. But
and was this the helicopter with doors or no doors?
It had doors. We'd be
okay.
on the floor, on the pavement, you know, if you didn't have doors. But and what was really fun is I remember one time I was in the helicopter with Captain Herb, and we were talking about traffic for a big race, because there was road closures, and the Peachtree Road Race is on July 4th, and it's a really big deal, and then the fireworks, and he's like, he goes, there's a little camera attached to the bottom of the helicopter. And he's like, hey, he's very Southern. He's like, hey, you won't go see Elton John? I'm like, what? I don't know if I'm supposed to even tell the story, but he's not going to get in trouble now, bless his heart. He's in heaven. So we go flying up to this high-rise apartment, and he takes the camera. There are always people watching you, okay? He goes to the very top floor in this apartment building and zooms, we're not right outside it, but zooms the camera, and he's like, this is Elton John's apartment. And I'm looking at Elton John's living room. Like, what? Who does that? He's like, yeah, you know. And then every once in a while, they would be like, you know, rooftop pools that we would fly over, and you'd put the camera down in the pool just to have fun. And he made it me very comfortable and very relaxed. And, yeah, I got to see Elton John's living room. What's up?
There was a helicopter movie. I cannot remember the Blue Thunder was the name of the helicopter movie. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Blue Thunder, but it was about a police helicopter in a city, and they used to go spy in people's windows like that.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I don't think it was common knowledge that we were, checking out Elton John. And I thought Elton John really needed to straighten up after the party he'd had the night before, okay? Things were a little sloppy in there.
Well, our best to his wife and everything. Thank God he wasn't, in the helicopter probably that day, And he wasn't very old either, was he? He was 50-some?
Maybe late 50s, early. I don't know how old he was.
I thought it was late 50s, what I read. Yeah.
Yeah, but he was an animal guy too, and that makes it harder. So in lieu of flowers, I'm not sure if they're doing this. I'm sure they are, but I sent money to the Douglasville Animal Shelter because that's what he would have really wanted.
Very good. Well, I'm glad you got to share that with everybody and talk a little bit about Captain Herb. You're welcome.
I feel better.
You're welcome. Well, that was, that was funny because that was in your early 20s and through your 20s that you worked there, and you were kind of, not only were you the traffic girl, but you were that girl a lot of times. Jamie, when she first auditioned for this part to do the Horses in the Morning show, sent me a tape. And what do they call those, a demo reel or whatever, your little snippets of your career in Atlanta on radio. And, a lot of that time you were the dating girl, too. Not only you were the traffic girl, but you were the dating girl.
Single nightmare. Yeah. Yeah.
and the horse girl. So you had it all. I mean, you had all of those things going on. Well, one of the things that happens when you're the dating girl on radio or when you're the horse girl on radio or a horse girl in general is when you get into your 20s, your family and your friends expect you to outgrow the horse thing. Don't they? Isn't that what everybody expects when you get to, through your teenage years, they all go, oh, this is something she's doing through her teenage years. And then she's going to outgrow it, like we outgrow, other things we do in our teenage years, thankfully. But, they all expect you to outgrow it. Well, there was this story on Horse Nation written by Carly Mitchell. And she said, this happened to me. She said, horses have been a huge part of my life. I fell in love, and I haven't looked back since, and blah, blah, blah. But she said, sometimes when you're in your 20s, your life still revolves around horses, and you don't stop. What happens, though, is your family expects you to, or your friends expect you to. And so what she came up with was these lists of the top 10 things people need to stop saying about horse girls. Or stop saying to horse girls, especially horse girls in their 20s. And Jennifer, I'm sure, can relate with this as well. So let's see how many of these you heard, Jamie, while you were growing up, while you were doing radio in Atlanta and still riding horses. So number one was, you should probably stop talking about your horse like it's a child.
I should stop doing that now.
Yeah, we all do
and
that.
I have a child.
I mean, don't we all do that? I mean, yeah. We're 50 and we do that. We never stop doing that. But maybe you should focus on human family. Well, I know you heard that for a long time from your parents.
God. When are you going to give me a grandson, Jamie? Sorry.
Because you didn't get married till you were in your 30s, so I imagine that was a common one for you.
Yeah, that one's happened a lot.
Imagine how much money you'd have if you didn't have horses. Well, that's true for all of us, I think, probably.
You know what, though? If I didn't have horses and I had all that extra money, I would be very unhappy. So, you pay for your happiness.
Well, not only that, this statement is wrong, too, because it says, imagine how much money you'd have. No, you'd have spent it on something else. So
I know.
You still wouldn't have that money.
I'd have a gambling addiction or something.
Yeah, that's right. Imagine how much time you'd have if you didn't have horses.
Yeah, but what would you do with your time?
That's right. That's what I was going to say. What would you do? It's like, well, that means you just sit around and watch TV for 4 hours instead of two?
I know, right? I'd have a lot of cats. Here, kitty, 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 kitty.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't have a lot of cats. Everybody knows that after Frank the cat. Right now, you don't want to have any cats. So. Do you really need to post pictures of your horse constantly on Facebook?
Yes. How's everybody else going to know how awesome my horse is if I don't continue to let them know?
Now, I do notice that your amount of postings of horse pictures has dramatically decreased, and the postings of child pictures have increased.
Yeah, that's true, because if I want to get a picture of the horse, I have to move the baby out of the way first. I mean, that's just the way it is, honestly.
By the way, the picture you posted of the Easter picture you posted of baby Luke yesterday was the cutest thing ever.
Oh, thank you.
That was really cute.
Yeah, it's, you know, you have to start doing these things. You have to do these photo things for our family, for grandparents, since they don't live here. There you go.
And there's baby Luke now.
Yep, he's here. He's alive.
Another one. Don't you worry about falling off and getting injured and jeopardizing your life?
Do you drive a car? I have an answer for everybody.
Yes, you do. That's a good answer, actually. That is a good answer. And I stopped saying that to Jennifer because she didn't fall off and get injured a lot. So it was like, oh, well, she obviously doesn't care. How does your boyfriend put up with your lifestyle? Well, in Jamie's case, a lot of them didn't. So
True that.
You just keep finding new ones until you find one that will put up with your lifestyle.
Yeah,
that's the answer
to
that.
You have to just, how do you know what's your favorite flavor ice cream if you don't sample a whole bunch? And I remember,
oh,
poor little thing, yeah.
Okay, bye-bye.
I was, see, you just find a husband that deals
Chat
with it.
Chat only
come
gets him when he's crying.
Exactly. I took a guy on a date and you know, dated like two times, and in the real way to tell if they're going to stick around is take him to the barn. And I remember taking him to the barn, and he's like, I got the horse out, you know, my horse out of the pasture, and I had him in the cross ties. And he's like, what do you do with him when you leave? Do you put him in his own little horse house? I thought, you're not sticking around. you're not sticking around.
Horse house, I like that. Why didn't you grow out of the horse phase like many other girls?
Yeah, we went over that already.
When do you think you're going to give it up, and what else do you do with yourself beside horses? Nothing.
Yeah. I drink.
But these are all things that anybody that's in their 20, any horse girl in their 20s has heard these for sure. And, you know, even I was talking to, I forget which professional rider it was. It was one of the eventers. And she was in her, I don't know if it was Jessica Phoenix or one of them. And she was in her 20s. And she said, I still get that. And I'm a professional. I ride for a living.
I do remember the years of telling my dad, I think, was, you know, I what do you want to do when you grow up? I want to get paid to ride horses. No. But, like, a real job. You know, like, you know what I do right now? I get paid to ride horses and teach people to ride horses. And it doesn't, you know, I don't have to be a Rolex rider to be able to have that as a career. And, you know, I tell girls that now. I'm like, first of all, you can do it. Second of all, marry well. Because you'll be broke otherwise.
Jennifer, that's the part you missed. The marrying.
Yeah.
That's the part you missed. You missed the very well part. You screwed that one up. But, you know, you're 25 years in. Why give up now?
Like, I just don't have the energy to retrain anyone. I don't.
I know. Right. You're solid already, Glenn. You're a solid training level horse, okay? Just let it go.
Yeah, I may have been a mistake in the beginning, but she's used to me now. So.
Yeah. She got you through beginner, novice, and novice. You're good to go training now. You're not advanced.
It's an unfortunate thing for her because, you know, with horses, they only live usually about 20 years. We lived like 70 or 80. So she's stuck. You know?
It depends.
Not like
it depends on
over.
How good a husband you are, how long you live.
Let's take a break for our title sponsor this show, Back on Track Products. And here about one of their products with a conversation I had with the owner of that company, Bo. Well, hi, Bo, and welcome back to Horses in the Morning.
Thank you.
Well, you know, Bo, I wanted to talk to you this week. You know, a couple of weeks ago we talked about using the mesh sheet and how that really covered the back and, you know, a larger portion of the horse itself. And then last week we covered the saddle pad to use when you're riding. I wanted to talk to you about the leg wraps today. When should you use the leg wraps? And you have a couple of different kinds.
Yes, all of our leg wraps work the same. It's best result is to use it overnight. If you don't have them in indoors overnight, you can put them on a couple hours a day and you will see some effect, but the best result you will have for overnight.
So these are not wraps that you would put you would turn them out in? Better
no,
than, okay.
Indoor wraps.
Okay, so all of your wraps are these particular ones are indoor. And what benefits do we see to the legs?
You're going to see that the legs tighten up because of the increase of blood circulation, and the legs are going to be tight and cool. Wind puffs disappear or get softer. Especially horses are stuck up at night, you can see a big difference with this kind of wraps on.
So it doesn't really matter what discipline we're doing. They're going to benefit almost anybody, whether English or Western or trail riders.
Oh, any horse will be helped on this. Because the horse is stuck up in the legs, it's because of poor blood circulation, and our leg wraps increase blood circulation 50% in second of accounts.
Did you see them being used more front legs, back legs, or all four?
Most people use all four, but the horse usually stuck up in the hind before they stuck up in front.
Okay, so if you're going to get two, they could also rotate them if they had a pair, or are there separate sizes for front and back?
It's separate sizes, come 12, 14, and 16 inch. And some people want all the four leg wraps, and you know, they help the horses, of course, if you can wrap all four legs to stay sounder.
All right, cool. And you can find out more information on the Back on Track leg wraps. You can find that at backontrackproducts.com, along with all the other products. And we've talked about the mesh sheets and the saddle pads, and we're going to continue talking about other products as we go down the road here. Well, thank you again, Bo, for continuing to be a sponsor of Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you being on.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good day.
Well, and that's backontrackproducts.com. Jamie just posted a picture of her radio days back in 2003, where she was part of the Star 94 morning show in Atlanta, and she posted that on her Facebook page. So if you want to see what Jamie looked like, a much younger Jamie looked like, you can check that out on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. Coming up next, we have a special thing I put together. I'm going to be doing these segments, occasionally from now on, and it's called Horses in History, and it's a produced segment that I put together, the first one, and this is on the horses of World War I. On Friday, we're going to be talking about horses in war with the author of a new book on Sergeant Reckless. Sergeant Reckless, we have talked about here on the show a couple of times, and we're going to be featuring that on Friday, so I thought it tied in well to play this little segment I did on the horses in history of World War I. We'll be back after that with some equine news, and then the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge coming up at 10 o'clock. The Horses of World War I by Emily Upton on todayifoundout.com. When you think of World War I, you probably think of the technology that made this war so deadly. Tanks, machine guns, gas attacks, and bombs. With so many deadly weapons at their disposal, it seems impossible that soldiers would need the humble horse to fight as well. But over a million horses were used by Great Britain alone during World War I, and like their human counterparts, many of them didn't return home. The first horses were acquired via purchasers who scoured Great Britain for some of the best draft horses. In the first 12 days of the war, 165,000 horses had been obtained in this way. However, it soon became clear that many more horses would be needed before the war was done. There were not a million horses to spare in Great Britain at the time, so a lot of horses were taken from the North American plains and shipped off by the thousands to be trained for modern war. Many of these horses were half wild, tussle-maned, and shoeless. However, despite all of their flaws, they were particularly suited to a variety of weather conditions that they would experience during World War I. The first problem encountered while shipping the horses was that so many horses crowded into tight spaces meant that disease ran rampant. These horses were particularly susceptible to a type of pneumonia. Even those who weren't ill weren't necessarily in good shape when they finally landed in Britain after their journey across the ocean. The Royal Veterinary Corps was put in charge of making these horses fitting fight before they were taken to the front lines. In 1918, over half of Britain's horses were in France, while the rest were spread out across Europe. The majority of the horses were not used on the battlefield. In 1918, just over 75,000 were allocated to the cavalry, while nearly 450,000 horses and mules were used to lug supplies around. Another 90,000 were charged with carrying guns and heavy artillery, and over 100,000 were horses who were ridden around the front lines, carrying food and ammunition to soldiers and bearing the wounded across the trenches to hospitals. While the cavalry horses certainly saw a great deal of action, all of the horses were subjected to tough conditions and hardships wherever they worked. They said it wasn't enemy fire that killed the most horses, it was hunger, disease, illness, and exposure to the elements that caused the British Army to lose 15% of its horses each year of the war. Of course, caring for that many animals would be difficult enough on a farm, let alone on a battlefield. One of the biggest obstacles initially was many of the men fighting in the war were from the city and didn't have any experience caring for horses before a war horse was put in their charge. That said, once taught how to feed and groom them, the men quickly developed a bond with their horses and mourned them like a comrade when they passed away. As Captain Sidney Galtry said, "I believe that every soldier who has anything to do with a horse or a mule has come to love them for what they are and the grand work they have done and are doing in and out of the death zones." Food was a major issue. Rations for each horse included 12 pounds of oats, 10 pounds of hay, and some bran every week. Multiply that by a million and you get the problems with producing enough feed, not to mention transporting it to the horses who were spread out across Europe and under near constant enemy fire. Often the horses went hungry, and many also went without sufficient water. Shelter was also a problem. Most horses were simply attached to a picket line without a roof over their heads. In the winter, this meant they were subjected to cold, wet conditions. Their winter coat was most often clipped short so that any skin diseases could be easily detected, and this had the unfortunate side effect of taking away their natural source of warmth. However, with lice and mange running rampant among the animals, it was a necessary measure to keep them healthy. Needless to say, the horses were suffering right along with the humans. When the horses were injured, they were sent off to the nearest Royal Veterinary Corps hospital. Veterinarians stationed in France alone were able to successfully treat three-quarters of the 725,000 horses sent to them for care. Unfortunately, many horses were injured beyond repair, and it was often kindest to dispose of them on the field. Here's a graphic description from Lieutenant R.G. Dixon. "Heaving about in the filthy mud of the road was an unfortunate mule with both of his forelegs shot away. The poor brute, suffering God knows what untold agonies and terrors, was trying desperately to get to his feet, which weren't there, writhing and heaving, tossing its head about in wild attempts, not knowing that it no longer had any front legs. I had my revolver with me, but couldn't get near the animal, which lashed out at us with his hind legs and tossed its head unceasingly. Jerry's shells were arriving pretty fast, so we made some desperate attempts to get the mule so that I could put a bullet behind its ear into the brain, but to no avail. By lingering there, trying to put the creature out of its pain, I was risking not only my life, but also those of my companions. The shelling got more intense. Perhaps one would hit the poor thing and put it out of its misery." Despite all of the losses suffered by the ranks of the British horses and the harsh conditions they endured, they were actually some of the best cared for animals in the war. For instance, the Brits provided their horses with places to recuperate if they were suffering from exhaustion. These places gave them some time and green pastures away from the war. That said, gunfire, disease, lack of food, parasites, and poor weather conditions ultimately took their toll. Over 200,000 horses gave their lives for Britain by the end of the war. Some sources mention that only 60,000 horses actually survived. However, it is very likely that this is a huge exaggeration. Of those that survived, not all made it back to England. It was expensive to ship horses across the English Channel. Many were sold to butchers in France or auctioned off to French farmers for very little money so that Britain didn't have to transport them. All in all, not a great way to treat animals who had fought just as hard as their human counterparts. But there were also some happy stories. In some cases, soldiers pulled money together to bring their favorite horses home and gave them a good life after the war. Of course, we're all familiar with the plight of the war horses as the subject of the book War Horse, which was turned into the famous Steven Spielberg movie of the same name. This article was written by Emily Upton, The Horses of World War I, for todayifoundout.com. They have a terrific website, lots of really cool articles like this, and also a podcast where they talk about the different articles that they post. If you would like to learn something every day, then this is certainly the website for you. I really enjoy it, and I enjoy their podcast as well. todayifoundout.com. Well, that was a segment on horses in history, the horses of World War One,
wow.
And we'll be hearing more about, I know. Maybe the next one I'll do be a little happier.
Well, seriously, you could do a cover Winston Churchill after the war, like on his dime and made some of the government money, bring horses back. So if you could cover, like, let's do a thing on Winston Churchill and how awesome he was.
Okay. Well, Friday we're going to be talking about Sergeant Reckless, one of the true horse heroes of any war. So that's what we're going to be talking about on Friday.
Okay.
And
I'll do some research on Winston Churchill, and we're going to do a coverage on him. And you know what? I'm going to write something on him, and I'm going to have Victoria Spicer read it.
Yeah, there you go. That'd be good. That would be good. Hey, a couple news stories here I have for you. One is if you started on the Buck Brannaman series that has been playing on RFD, a three-part series, and on Equestrian Nation, which is the name of the show, on Buck Brannaman. The third part is today at 2:30 and 10:30 tonight. So that is the third part on that. I just wanted to make a TV note of that.
Oh,
now,
my gosh.
Jamie. Let me ask you a question. If you're the FEI and you have a sport, a discipline within your ranks that may have some shenanigans going on with drugs and cheating and things, and you want to appoint a board or a panel to investigate that, do you include the people that have done the cheating and gotten the fines on that board?
I saw the story. Yeah, no. This is a really good move on the part of the FEI.
Yeah, well, the bad move on part of the FEI was to do it in the first place. The good move was to kick it. But this is what happened. So Endurance has had some issues here lately, especially with Sheikh Mohammed's barn. Sheikh Mohammed is one of the top endurance riders in the world, but he also received a 6-month suspension for using prohibited substances. And his barns recently in England have come under fire for using prohibited substances and giving shots to the horses and things. So that has caused this uproar within the endurance community to have an investigation and to, you know, change the rules and to make doing these things a little tougher in the endurance world. So they appointed this committee, which included, now get this, the committee included the Sheikh's senior aides, and I'm not going to use their names. One was general manager of the Dubai Equestrian Club, and the other one was a chairman. The other one was a longtime lawyer, Andrew Holmes, who had been a lawyer for the Sheikh. So he had two of his, senior aides on the committee, and he was funding the committee. So, so what happened, what brought this to light was there was a lot of the other countries that raised the stink and said, look, we have to, the other federations, four countries, had raised the stink, and especially the Dutch and the Swiss. And they called it a collaboration, you know, between the Sheikh and the governing body, and that it was, you know, not something not good, which anybody with any common sense could see. So they have now replaced those two members with other people, and who have less ties to the Sheikh, and the Sheikh is no longer funding this investigation. But boy, it took took a while to come to get that accomplished, and the FBI. I just guess they figured that nobody would argue.
Yeah,
it would be, you know,
the FBI. Who's going to argue with them? But yeah, I'm glad they did the right thing. Hey, Glenn, I am not sure if you heard of the hotly contested mayoral race in a Colorado town of Divide. Okay, they were voting on a new mayor, the people of the town, and there was 11 mayoral candidates. Okay, 11 candidates for mayor, and the winner. He got 2,387 votes of the 12,091 votes that were available. Pa Kettle will be sworn in on Saturday as the new mayor of the Colorado town of Divide. Pa Kettle, yes, he is a bloodhound. A bloodhound. Okay. Pa Kettle beat out Herbie the Donkey, Gracie is the horse, a cat named Buster, a hedgehog named Blackberry, and seven other dogs. Deputy mayor will be a wolf, the three-legged cat named Walter decided to retire his mayoral chain this year at this year's election. So the three-legged cat named Walter, the presiding mayor over the Colorado town of Divide, will be retiring, and Paquetta will be taking over, and Kenyai, the second place, who lost by 55 votes, the wolf, will be deputy mayor. Do you want to live in this town or what?
I just looked. You know, you said there was 12,000 votes, you said?
12,091 votes.
Well, you know, as of 2010, I just looked it up. Divide, Colorado, the census said there was 127 people in town. So somebody voted more than once.
Well, what's really awesome is each vote raised $1 to take care of shelter animals in the county. An animal gets the lead divide because the town has no human mayor, and apparently Pa Kettle was a really big choice simply because his campaign manager and owner said that he's the only candidate that has a real job, and he's the only candidate that has a last name and a verifiable birth certificate because he is a registered search and rescue dog.
I love his lips, too.
What a cool town. What a cool town. But I'm really sad that Gracie the horse did not even contend. Herbie the donkey or a hedgehog named Blackberry. I could see the hedgehog not winning, but the horse, come on.
That is funny. And all for a good cause. And you know what? He will be a better mayor than 99% of the mayors in this country.
Absolutely. We were just talking about people being corrupt. And Pa Kettle, he's no corrupt candidate, man. He's going to sniff it out the way it is. Ha, like my pun? That's pretty good.
That's a good pun there. That's good.
Hey, you like that picture I posted? Or actually somebody else posted?
Yes, I like that picture. I just mentioned before the break that Jamie posted a picture of herself, a much younger self, and a self actually in a dress, which is the other thing that I picked up on. This was from 2003 when you were working at Star 94 in Atlanta. Look
Correct.
At your younger self.
Yeah, somebody, the guy in the back, Tom Sullivan, actually posted that on my Facebook page this week, tagged me in it. And I'm like, oh, my God. And you know what? If only I would have known I was that skinny back then, because we're always striving to be skinnier. And I look at that, I'm like, oh, my God, I was so skinny. And at that time, I was like, oh, my God, I need to lose weight. Like, what is wrong with us as humans that that's our mentality? But I was appreciating the fact that I could not pose as baby, fit into that dress if you paid me. but God, I'd love to try.
The fact that you were wearing one was amazing.
Yeah, but I had a two. I lived a double life, Glenn. I lived a double life because that job paid for my horses. So it's not like I ever quit horses. It was just I was able to afford it for a small period of my life.
You had a grown-up job where you actually had to dress up to go to work.
Yeah, you know what? I kind of quit that about 5 years in. I was like, you know what? You're going to get me in pajamas. And so I would wear pajamas half the time, and everybody else got dressed up. But it was a photo shoot day. I don't even remember having that picture taken. That's how long ago that was.
Oh. Or it was a rough night the night before. One or the other, because Jamie was in her early 20s. So,
Probably.
Yeah. Hey, Calvin Burrell announced that you, this is important. Every Kentucky Derby now, in modern history, you wait to see who Calvin Burrell says he's going to ride in the Kentucky Derby because, you know, Calvin Burrell has this habit of picking the, you know, underdogs and then taking them to win this race. So everybody kind of waits to see who old Calvin's going to be on. Well, old Calvin's going to be on a horse named Ride On Curlin. His trainer is Bronco Billy Gowan. So Bronco Billy is the trainer. Does this sound familiar to you, this whole scenario?
50-1 that he makes it.
He would get this mount actually did come as a runner-up in the Arkansas Derby. So he's been tested. He's actually been out there. The only two times he's won, Calvin rode him. He's won three derbies. He's probably won more races for me than any other jock ever, the trainer says. So he says he's going to take his chances, and if Calvin's supposed to ride him, Calvin's going to ride him. So there you go. Calvin got the ride on.
Now my,
ride on.
He won in 2007 with Street Sense. He won with Mind That Bird in 2009. He won with Super Saver in 2010. I mean, he's due. I mean, it's been a couple years. Calvin is due. So that's not a bad one to put your money on, you know, but if you like that. I've never been a huge Calvin Burrell fan, but you know what? I'm a fan of a little more finesse, but he loves to sit in the back and then just charge through and make holes, and he's definitely a great rider. So I think he's going to be one of the ones to watch.
You certainly can never count him out, that is for
correct,
sure. Hey,
correct.
We have some news, too, from Rolex, don't we? Big news came out yesterday. Well, not big news. We all kind of knew it was going to be news. Tell us the big news.
Well, you know, Philip Dutton is going to ride Boyd Martin's Trading Aces. Boyd says he is officially out of Rolex. I mean, obviously, he broke his leg a couple weeks ago. So us thinking he was going to go around, I actually held out hope because eventers are crazy enough to do that. But Boyd Martin is officially out of Rolex. However, check this out. He says that he is considering taking Otis Barbieri and Shamwari in the dressage and then withdrawing after dressage. So we might actually see him ride. That'd be awesome.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah, but Philip Dutton is going to ride Trading Aces. That's his big one. And I guess Otis and Shamwari are going to be riding, going around Fair Hill this weekend with Philip, and I think he's going to see how he does because what he says is he's not withdrawing them yet. But he will definitely not do cross-country and show jumping with them. But what he's concerned about is not giving them a good enough ride in dressage. So he's going to play that by ear and keep them all entered. Now, a couple more horse and rider combinations that are out. Tiana Coudray and Ringwood Magister. Now, if that name's not familiar, she was at Rolex a couple years ago, and she's actually in England now training. However, she was slated to come. She got a grant from the U.S. to come and bring Ringwood Magister to Rolex. What I'm bummed that she's not coming because that horse is just the poetry in motion, just watching Ringwood Magister go, his name is Finn, I think, it just awesome. And I was super excited they were coming, but they are like 10 minutes from badminton. So it's like, do I ship across the country to go to Rolex or just have a short trailer ride down to badminton? She chose badminton. Becky Holder is out with Can't Fire Me. Becky Holder hurt herself walking cross country and damaged her knee. And she just hasn't quite been the same. So she's out. Will Fodry and Andromatic are not going to go again because I guess the horse hasn't been feeling great and has an injury that kept him out of pole last year. So he's not going to ride at Andromatic in this year's Rolex. And then finally, and a giant congratulations, Jolie Wentworth. Jolie Wentworth, who rides Goodnight, is not going to ride as well because she's pregnant. She just found out she and her husband are having a baby. They're due in September, and so congratulations. She's going to do what she said is safer for the baby and not go run around that crazy jump course. So congratulations to Jolie Wentworth and her husband.
Yeah, do you think her husband had anything to say about that?
What do you mean?
I mean, do you think he was going, you're not doing this. You're not doing this. You've got a baby.
What?
You're not doing this.
Glenn, haven't you learned that if a husband says something like that to a horse chick, what are we going to do?
That's true. You're going to go do it.
We're going to go do it. So I'm assuming she had a little more say. No, girls don't like that. Don't get told what to do. Seriously.
Well, let's do this. Let's play our song. We're going to come back with the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge today with Elisa Wallace, who regular listeners of the show will know. Elisa, we'll talk a little bit about more her. We also have she'll be at Rolex too for a different reason. And we'll have a listener out of New Mexico who we're hearing from for the first time playing a little trivia game. But first, we have Equestrian Collections Product of the Week and our song, Born to Ride by Marianne Kennedy. We'll be right back. Hi, Glenn here, and I have Debbie with me from Equestrian Collections with the product of the week.
Hi, Glenn. This week I'm going to be talking about an item that I think I have talked about in the past on our product of the week, but they have changed the design, which they do every once in a while, and that is the Ariat Mini Carryall. This is my favorite purse, and every woman in the world loves purses. These things have all the pockets everywhere. I have the size. The size is 13 inches high, 14 inches wide, and 7.5 inches deep, so it's the perfect purse size. It's not too big, it's not too little, and it has pockets everywhere. It even has pockets that you can carry coolers, water, and stuff with you, which is not always true of all purses. This year, they've come out with some really cool designs that I wanted to talk about. There is something called the Black with Bits. It's a very stylish look, which is a little bit different. So you can carry that to your fancier horse shows or your pony club events. They have a camo pink one, so if you want to go to some of the more rustic events, you're covered. And they've got a zebra one, which, of course, with my black and white horses, I had to buy one immediately. They've got some different colors and different styles and different designs, and this is the world's most perfect purse. So I wanted to go ahead and remind all of your women viewers or listeners about this purse, and also the men, if you're looking for a present, this is the perfect one. It's not too expensive. They're all like in the $30 range, and I even embroider mine. You can have them embroidered with initials or pictures of your horse or whatever you want to do with your embroidery. It's big enough to do that on the one side. So it's a perfect present.
And that's the Ariat Mini Carryall. My wife owns a couple of those, but she'll want a new color now. So there's a whole bunch of new colors. Check it out at equestriancollections.com. Just search for Ariat Mini Carryall, and you'll find the whole collection at equestriancollections.com.
That I ever said, visions of galloping in my head, mane slow and tails held high, I knew that I was born to ride. I was born to ride like a bird was born to fly.
Breaking news. I have breaking news. This is so exciting. You know, Zenyatta is in full and is about to drop any second. It's not the news. The baby has not been born. However, they just named last year's baby. Finally, we're going to have a name for the Zenyatta baby. Remember, the first baby was named Cosmic One with a Z. The new baby, Zenyatta, the baby Z13, has now been named Zyconic. Iconic with a Z in front of it. That's awesome. What a good name.
That is a good name.
Actually, they posted on Facebook, like, the baby, and his name is that, and you click on it. The site for Zenyatta has crashed. It has crashed. I've been trying frantically to get the name for, like, ever. Somebody finally posted it. It's Iconic. I love it. Okay, carry on.
That is
Sorry.
A good name.
Sorry.
All right. Very good. Well, you're listening to Horses in the Morning, and we are brought to you today by Back on Track Products. It is Wednesday. It is 10 o'clock. It is time for this.
It's time for the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge, where each week a different unsuspecting world-renowned celebrity equestrian is pitted against a humble Horses in the Morning listener willing to risk it all for a prize package or a nod of approval from one of the greats from the equestrian universe. Now, let the battle of equestrian acuity begin.
And the Celebrity Trivia Challenge is brought to you by EquityMFG.com. For the finest manure forks out there, the only manure forks you ever want to use, they have two of them, the Flexin' Fork and the Shakin' Fork. If you clean less than three stalls a day, you clean paddocks, then you want the Flexin' Fork. It is pretty much indestructible. It has the only manure fork with a built-in suspension system. I was cleaning the paddock yesterday. I dropped the thing. I stepped right on it with all 200 pounds of my brute force. And I stepped right on the head, and I was convinced the thing was broken. I thought, finally, we broke one, And we can say that we did. Nope, not anything wrong with it. Not a bent tine, nothing. And I stepped right on the tine. What other manure fork could I have done that with? If you clean more than three stalls a day, you must take a look at the motorized fork, the shaken fork. It does 50% of the work for you. You press the trigger, the head shakes, and it really does save you bedding, and it saves you about half the time in cleaning stalls. So if you clean more than three a day, get the shaken fork. If you're outside cleaning or clean a couple stalls a day, then get the flexin fork at equitymfg.com. We all use them. All the hosts here at the Horse Radio Network use these and absolutely love them. We're introducing our celebrity for the day. She was a recent guest on our show. She's an advanced eventer. She is also a winner of the Extreme Mustang Makeover, and she will be doing a demonstration at Rolex with her terrific Mustangs, Elisa Wallace. Hi, Elisa.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, Elisa.
Good morning.
Hey. I just wanted to say congratulations. I heard, I saw that you just entered the three-star at Chattahoochee Hills on your route to Rolex next year.
Yes, that's correct. I had a good go on my Simply Priceless horse at the two-star. So we both have done three-stars, so it was kind of a catch-up game for us both to kind of get back to our level. So, yes, it's exciting. It's starting to fall into place. It's been a long process.
Oh, girl, I know. I mean, I'm sure it is. And congratulations, though. That's going to be awesome. And you're up in Jasper, Georgia, correct?
Yes.
All right. So Chattahoochee Hills isn't even that far for you. Man, that's lucky.
Yeah. It's one of the closer ones, which is nice.
That's awesome. Well, good luck to you. And I'm excited to see you at Rolex next year without the Mustangs, with the big horses. Mustangs are in 2 years, okay? 2 years
of
Rolex.
When are you getting your Mustang again, Jamie?
Still working on it. Still working on it. Uh-huh. Got to sell a horse before I can buy a new one, sadly.
Right. Isn't that story of all of our lives?
I know, right? Got to have a stall. But it's coming. It's coming. I swear. I'm going to do it.
Okay.
Elisa,
buy a horse?
Tell us when are you going to be at Rolex? When are your demonstrations? Do you have times yet, or do you know?
She told me the times verbally, but they kind of, if my brain works, I do them Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And I believe Thursday is 10:30, Friday is 12:30, like around lunchtime, and then Saturday is 1:45.
Okay. So. All right. And that's going to be in the demonstration arena where they do all of those demonstrations outside there?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. All right, and anybody been to Rolex, you know where that is. It's where the Pony Club does all of their demonstrations, and it's in between the main arena and the old indoor arena. That's where you'll find that. Well, Elisa, are you ready to play some trivia here?
We'll see. Yeah, I guess so. No time like the present.
Well, Elisa, we have a challenger. Her name is Rose Carlton, and she is out of New Mexico. Good morning, Rose.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Do you have horses?
Yeah, I have three horses and one pony, and I just am a trail rider. You know, I'm a pleasure ride, and I live up in the mountains in New Mexico, and me and my friends go riding in a beautiful country. We love it.
What kind of horses, Rose?
North part.
Well, I have two Missouri Fox Trotters and a registered paint, and then I have a little, about 12-hand pony that is about 40 years old. She just kind of hangs out with the other horses.
That's cute. And Jamie's right. If you're going to trail ride, then the mountains of New Mexico is certainly a place to do that.
Yeah, it's beautiful, I tell you.
Real quick, are either one of you guys on a speakerphone?
No.
I'm on a cell phone.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Well.
We just have a little bit of an echo. It comes and goes, though, so I think we'll be fine. Jamie,
okay.
Can you tell us what the prize is going to be for today, and then we'll find out what charity Elisa is playing for?
Okay, the prize today is a 64-ounce bottle of the original Soar No More liniment. This is almost a $70 value. The original Soar No More liniment became famous for its natural, herbal, arnica-based cooling formula. This is the stuff to use. Soar No More Performance Liniment is the only liniment that is not only safe for FBI competitors, but it's also safe for use with laser, magnetic, and ceramic fiber therapy, as well as safe for sensitive skin. As with the original Soar No More liniment, Soar No More Performance liniment will never burn or cause a tingling sensation. You can find Soar No More products at your local tech shops or many online outlets. And again, it does work with the Back on Track products. So it's the perfect marriage, and you will walk away with a ginormous 64-ounce bottle of it. And of course, that will go to Rose if she wins, or Alisa, you're playing for a charity. Tell us about your charity.
Yes, the Georgia Equine Rescue League. They are obviously located in Georgia, and they do a fantastic job of helping starved and neglected horses. And so that could be put to use for them. That's good stuff right there.
Absolutely. Before you send it to them, make sure you put some on your back because it's nice.
Yes.
It's nice. All right. Well, let's see how this works. I'm going to ask Rose a question. And she's going to have, you know, 5 or so seconds to answer it. You guys have to promise you're not going to Google. I'm going to ask Rose a question, then we'll go to Alisa, and we'll go back and forth, unless we have to go to a tiebreaker, which I will then explain as we get to that. Are you guys ready?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Are you nervous, Alisa?
Of course. I'm competitive. I always get nervous.
Like, look out, Rose.
You're going to a 3-star.
I want everybody to win. Everybody wins.
Yeah. I love it. Okay. Now, in keeping with the silly first question topic, remember, if you don't like these questions, you can send a nasty email to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. She is the one who writes these, not me.
I'll make sure to do that.
All right, Rose.
Yeah.
Rose, how do you catch a special or unique horse? How do you catch a unique horse?
The same way you catch a regular horse? You walk up to put the rope on and go on your way.
Close. But no.
As I thought.
Unique up on it. Unique up
on it. Oh, unique up on it. Oh, my God.
Seriously?
Alisa, what's my question? That was bad. It was terrible. That's why I give you her email address. Alisa, how do you catch a tame horse?
How do you catch a tame horse? You go and put a rope on it and put a halter on it.
You catch it the tame way. unique up on it, same way. Okay, the bad ones are out of the way. Let's get smart here. All right, Rose, we're back to you. It is 0-0, goose egg to goose egg. When, Rose, did the interlaced, this is multiple choice, by the way, so stick around.
Oh, yay.
When did the interlaced 5 rings, as seen on the Olympic flag, become an official symbol of the Olympic Games? Is it A, 1896, B, 1920, or C,
1952?
Wow,
1920.
Wow, yay! Good job.
Yes, that is correct. 1920 Yay. Was when the 5 rings were seen on the Olympic flag. It was not until the Winter Olympic Games of 2014, where they are now 4 rings and 1 tiny little snowflake. That is the new Olympic rings. Okay, Alisa, we move to you. You also have a multiple choice question. Are
Yay.
You ready?
Yes.
What other state does the famed Chisholm Trail traverse on its way from Texas to Kansas? Texas to Kansas. Is it A, Arkansas, B, Iowa, or C, Oklahoma?
I would say Oklahoma.
Yes, that's correct.
Woo-hoo!
Good job.
It is Oklahoma. The Chisholm Trail makes its way from Texas through Oklahoma to Kansas. Congratulations, you know your state map. Okay. Are you ready, Rose? It is 1-1. You must get this right to win, and Lisa must not get the next one right, or we go to the tiebreaker. Okay, here we go. Name the price line negotiator who took part in the 2010 World Equestrian Games opening ceremonies.
Not fair. I know this one.
that would have to be William Shatner.
Yes, that's right.
Ding, yeah. Ding! Price line negotiator! That's right. And now his daughter from The Big Bang Theory is now the new price line negotiator, apparently. All right, Alisa. In the Disney animated film Cinderella, a pumpkin is turned into a carriage and lizards are turned into footmen. What were the horses created from?
Oh, I think the mice.
That's right.
We
tied up. Good guess.
That was a really good guess. I would have really had a hard time with that one if I didn't have the answer.
Anytime
in front of me.
There's a horse. Anytime there's a horse, you always pay attention.
I know,
anytime.
Right? I'm with you. Now the tiebreaker. How this works is I am going to start reading clues, and the clues will go to, you know, like 1 through 5. And as soon as you know the answer, you're going to use your name as your buzzer, okay? So say your name, and then I'll call on you, and you can answer, okay? Don't just yell out the answer, because then I won't know who said it. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Okay. Name the iconic equestrian venue, okay? So this is the place the horses are.
Oh, this isn't fair.
How do you know it's not fair? You don't know.
I'm a trail rider.
Yes, but that's okay.
But you listen to our show.
Exactly.
Okay.
You're a listener. Name the iconic equestrian venue. It is nicknamed the Graveyard of Champions.
Oh, my.
Man-O-War, the famous Man-O-War, suffered his only defeat here. Home to the Travers Stakes since its inception in
1864. Wow, I have no idea.
Drawing a blank, and I know Travers, dang it.
In 1999, it was rated as Sports Illustrated's number 10 sports venue of the 20th century. That's not going to help you. It's located in upstate New York. It's beautiful.
Oh.
Alisa! I'm going to say Madison Square. No, because it was...
Okay, we go to Rose. Rose, you get to make a guess.
Okay, I know that this is probably where the Belmont Stakes has been, right? And I don't know the name of the track.
Okay, let's hear the buzzer. Everybody loses.
Yay. But then we all win together.
Or we all win.
This has never happened before, actually.
I know. I don't know what to do. I'm going to make something up. Okay.
Well, wait, what's the answer?
I was about to give it to you. It's Saratoga. Saratoga Springs Racecourse.
Complete
brain. Of course. That's okay. Yeah. Thank you guys for not Googling. You should have Googled. Otherwise, now I don't know what to do.
I'm actually sitting in a truck at the base of the mountains, because I live in the mountains and I have no cell phone service. I had to drive down, so I don't have access to Google.
I could have Googled, but I was truthful and did not. And
you were good,
have a brain.
Lisa.
Yeah.
You were good.
All right. Here's what
I got
we're going to do.
Idea.
Yeah, what do you think, Glenn? You go first. My idea is going to cost you money. Go.
If Rose doesn't mind, we will send the Soar No More to the charity, which was the Georgia Equine Rescue League, because they have a lot of horses that could probably use it. So if Rose doesn't mind that, and Rose, I will send you a signed Horse Radio Network mug. So you
great.
Can drink
yeah.
your coffee
yeah,
to
that's
us
fine.
Every morning. Does that work?
That works. That's great.
All right, good. Cool. And, Elisa, thank you so much for picking such a good charity. And I know that a $70 bottle of Soar No More Performance Liniment is something that you could use. But I'm
bonus.
Sure that the charity
see, now,
could use it, too.
Jennifer and I thought of a bonus question
yeah.
as a tiebreaker. So just for fun, yell out your name when you know the answer to this. Who is the only horse that beat Man of War?
Oh, crap.
Oh, my God.
Now, that wasn't it.
I watched documentaries on this, and I don't remember.
Well, this is real. I'll take a guess. I mean, the only other horse I know is Secretariat. It can't be that, though. They were in the same era, right?
No,
okay, who is the only horse that upset Man of War's perfect record?
We don't know.
His name is
know.
Upset.
Upset.
Oh, my worse. Gosh. That's almost as bad as the tame way.
Okay, no more silly jokes as questions. We just have fun with you guys. You guys are awesome. Thank you. The Georgia Equine Rescue League is going to get that Soar No More. And, Rose, we will send out a Horse Radio Network, a Horses in the Morning mug to you. It's really cool. It's great. And thank you guys for being such good sports. Make sure you go out and you check out EquityMFG.com. Great manure forks, just the best in the business. So, again, Rose, thank you for being a part of the show. Elisa, we will talk to you again. Make sure you come visit us at Rolex, okay? We're broadcasting live from there.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah,
and let us
to
know when
you
get your new Mustang. I can't wait to hear about your new Mustang that you're getting from Ellie Price.
Right, yes. I leave tomorrow to go pick him up, finally.
Oh, yay. I can't wait to see pictures. That's awesome. Well, congratulations, and we'll talk to you guys again soon. Thanks, Rose.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Elisa.
What good
Man.
Sports. That's the first time we've ever had that where the tiebreaker didn't come out with a winner.
I know.
And Elisa knew that. She was just, she just didn't get it. But I knew she knew that. She was just pulling her hair out trying to figure it out.
It's okay. That was hard. That was a hard one.
Yeah.
But Jennifer, thank you for writing the questions. And we will.
Jennifer, are you running out of the silly, the tame way questions anytime soon? Or do you have
never.
A whole...
I have them for years to come.
Well, that's
good never run out.
Next week, I will be doing some editing of the questions so you can send your congratulatory emails to Jamie at horseradionetwork.com. How about that?
Yeah.
I asked him.
I make
a Well, you guys, it's been fun. It's been real. Do you have any more news for us, there, Glenn?
Yeah, no, Jennifer has to tell us we're going to be doing Really Bad Ads this Friday. And this Friday is the last Really Bad Ads for a couple of weeks because next week we'll be at Rolex broadcasting live from there. I'll have to tell Elisa where we're going to be so she can stop over and say hi to us before she does her demonstration in the morning on Friday. So we are actually going to be, if you are going to be there, we're doing our Horse Radio Network listener meetup half an hour before the start of cross country at jump number one. If you listen to the show or any of our shows on the Horse Radio Network, there will be five of the hosts of the Horse Radio Network shows there. Jamie, Jennifer, and I will be there, and Reese Koffler-Stanfield of the Dressage Radio Show will be there, and also Samantha Clark of the Eventing Radio Show will be there.
And- Just so you know, I will have the baby with me, so if you're going to come up and curse us out, just tell me earmuffs first so I can cover the baby's ears.
Just look for Jamie. She'll be holding the big flag that has the Horse Radio Network on it. And,
I don't know why you think I'm going to have a flag. I don't know if I'm going to have a flag, Glenn.
Probably not a good idea at Rolex with all the horses running around. But we will be there. And then also we'll be doing our show live 9 o'clock Friday, next Friday morning. Can't believe it's next Friday already. 9 o'clock next Friday morning and 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, a special Sunday episode. We'll be coming to you live with tons of guests. We are going to talk about next week, too. There is something else going on, and we should mention this, Jamie. There is a huge reining competition going on at the old indoor in the evenings of Rolex, and that is to determine it's a qualifier for – it's the selection trials, actually, for WEG. So not only for the United States, but for some other countries as well. So there'll be tons of Rainers in town, and so you see a lot of cowboy hats walking around too. And it's so funny because I sat with the Rainers last Rolex I was at. They were there, and I sat with them watching dressage. And it was very interesting hearing them talk very intelligently about dressage because, you know, they respected dressage a lot. They weren't picking on dressage. They understand dressage, the Rainers, and they get it. They get why everything that they do in dressage is done. So it was very interesting hearing their conversations about dressage, watching it. And we'll have a couple of them join us next Friday morning as well. So this is the last week for Really Bad Ads coming up. Jennifer will tell us what the prizes are. So get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Put Really Bad Ads in the subject line. Copy and paste the whole ad in. We had a fantastic group last week. It was one of the best we've ever had. So pressure's on, people. Get your ads in. Jennifer, they can win.
We have prizes from Dr. Rose's Remedies. Dr. Rose's Remedies skin treatment salve and spray are 100% all-natural products. They are anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal. Dr. Rose's are made with all human-grade ingredients and are safe and effective for treatment of all manner of cuts and scrapes on your horse. And Dr. Rose's is the must-have product here at HRN headquarters to keep PT Scooter's delicate white pasterns free from dew poisoning. Ask for Dr. Rose's at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at drrosesremedies.com. And Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls. Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls and Licky Things help to combat stall boredom by providing your horse entertainment in the stall while at the same time providing them with much-needed minerals and nutrients that are either not found in other treats or left at the bottom of the box or bin. Uncle Jimmy's has training treats covered, too, with Uncle Jimmy's Squeezy Buns. Every single deliciously soft squeezy treat is individually wrapped for freshness, and your pockets won't get gummed up. Ask for Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls, Licky Things, and Squeezy Buns at your local tack and feed store, or you can visit them online at uncle-jimmys.com.
Do all of your coats, Jamie, have little treat crumbs at the bottom of the pockets?
You know what all my coats have, and I find them in the dryer, is peppermint wrappers.
Yep, I get that.
Yep, I have to empty my pockets every time I go do wash.
I don't know why, but we haven't fed pure up straight up peppermints in a long time. I don't know why. I don't know if I don't know if Scooter even eats. Oh, that's right.
I wonder if Scooter eats peppermint.
Yeah, I have to try Scooter and see if he'll eat peppermint.
Probably because you have an insulin-resistant quarter horse, Glenn. Not a good idea to give sugary treats. I have skinny thoroughbreds. They need the sugar.
You know what neither one of them will eat either is an apple or carrots. They both won't eat apples or carrots.
Really?
They want squeezy buns. They want the good molasses-laden stuff. That's what they want.
Yeah, that's probably a good point. I need to get some of those. I've never used the squeezy buns. I've used the pecker wrecker and the licky things, and they seem to love those. Licky things are awesome.
Well, you know, the squeezy buns are really good for putting medicine in, and our dog loves squeezy buns. And so if you've got a pill to give to a dog, you put it in the squeezy bun, and she eats it right up. She really does. Because they're soft and pliable, so you just mush it around the pill. So it's a great way to give pills as well. Well, that's it for today. We will be back here tomorrow with a new segment. North American Trail Ride Conference is now going to be joining us on the third Thursday of every month doing a show on trail riding. We're going to follow up Tuesday's conversation on camping with one of the guests on what to do as far as the human side. We talked about the horse side. Now we're going to talk about the human side of going out deep camping into the woods, which Jamie's going to need to learn a little bit about before her trip coming up. And you think they're going to make you pack out into the woods and you're going to have to sleep in a sleeping bag in the middle of nowhere?
No.
No?
I'm not doing that.
So we're going to be doing that tomorrow morning. Join us. It will be live, and we have a lot of good guests, and we're going to be talking all about trail riding tomorrow. So I hope Rose joins us because it sounds like she does some serious trail riding out there in New Mexico. You can find us also on our app, iOS or Android store. Just go there, search for Horse Radio Network, download us, listen to the shows. It's the easiest way to listen to all the different shows. That's it for today. Thank you, Jamie. We'll talk to you again on Friday.
All right. Sounds good, everybody. Spay, neuter, and geld. And I'd love to name that iconic. How cool is that? No more bad jokes as questions. Don't do it.